King Josiah had come to the throne. His evil, evil father Manasseh had destroyed the people of God, had closed off the temple, had sealed it up. God's people hadn't visited his temple in years. And when Josiah came to the throne, he told the priests to go in and repair the temple and set it to rights. And while he was doing that, one of the priests found a copy of the book of Deuteronomy hidden in the walls where a godly priest had put it when King Manasseh was trying to burn the word of God, as so many tyrants have done. And he brought it out and he read it to the king. And when the king heard the words of this book, he wept and wept and repented, and a great revival was begun among the people. This is a wonderful book, and it is God's holy word. Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 17. We'll begin at verse 14. Deuteronomy 27, verse 14. The Levites shall recite to all the people of Israel in a loud voice, "Cursed is the man who carves an image or casts an idol, a thing detestable to the Lord, the work of the craftsman's hands, and sets it up in secret." Then all the people shall say, "Amen." Cursed is the man who dishonors his father or his mother. Then all the people shall say, "Amen." Cursed is the man who moves his neighbor's boundary stone. Then all the people shall say, "Amen." Cursed is the man who leads the blind astray on the road. Then all the people shall say, "Amen." Today, on this Father's Day, I want to talk about Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 17. Cursed is the man who moves his neighbor's boundary stone. And all the people shall say, "Amen." Why are boundary stones, why are landmarks so important? First of all, God is trying to teach us a spiritual principle here. There are some lines that should never be crossed. There is a road of no return. There is a path of destruction. There is a way that leads to death. And there are lines that once you cross them, there is seldom a hope of going back. A boundary marker was an important thing. It delineated what is on the right side and what is on the wrong side. God said, "Cursed is the man who moves them." Second of all, God was trying to tell us that there are some things that are meant to be fixed. They are not to move. There are standards that are not your opinion, my opinion, the president's opinion, the pope's opinion, pastor's opinion. They are not anyone's opinion. They are the truth. Jude, verse 13, makes this little statement of false teachers. It describes false teachers in Jude, verse 13, with these words. It says, "They are wandering stars." Wandering stars. Stars were very important to the ancient people. They were extremely important to every mariner. They didn't have global position satellites. They couldn't punch something into their cell phone and find out within 3 inches where on the face of the earth they were. When they were at sea, there was often only one point they could trust, and that was the stars in the heavens. And those stars didn't move. 6,000 years later, those stars still haven't moved. They're still the Big Dipper and the Little Dipper and Orion's Belt and all the other constellations that 6,000 years ago they could trust to guide them safely and surely to where they needed to go. We live in a day in which people want to move the stars. They want to change the constellations. They want to say, we can move whatever we want. And God said a boundary marker is not supposed to move, because some things are supposed to remain permanent. Third of all, landmarks are so important, because even if we move them, God does not. We can change the boundary markers. We can move things to the right or to the left. We can set up our own standards. We can declare to heaven, this is the way it will be now. We can shout at the top of our voices with one great cry of every single one of the almost 7 billion people of humanity, God, this is how we see it. And God will say, I don't care. Romans chapter 3, verse 4. Romans chapter 3, verse 4. Let God be true, and every man a liar. Well, but my pastor says, well, but TV Joe preaching on TV says, well, I heard from my great-grandmother, I don't care. God says there are boundary stones set, and they will not move. And if all the world sets a lever to them and pushes with all their might, they will not move. And God said, so you don't move your boundary markers either. Let me talk about, on this Father's Day, four boundary markers that have been moved. Four boundary markers that have been moved, and they have been moved in diabolical and evil ways. First of all, the boundary marker of morality. Today, what is right and what is wrong is an opinion question, decided by 51% of people responding in a so-called scientific study with a 3 to 5% margin of error. I was watching a documentary on the 1980s. I was a man in the 1980s. That was the decade that I came of age. I was a teenager in the 70s. I was an adult in the 80s. And it reminded me how far we have moved since what, for me, seems like just yesterday. They were talking about issues that The people on the documentary were saying, oh, that'll never happen. And now they have been changed completely. Morality. Morality, let me define morality for just a moment, because we don't even define our words very carefully these days. Let me define morality. Morality is the good we are required to do. Let me repeat that. Morality is the good we are required to do. Morality is not an option. It's not a good choice, but other choices are available. Morality is the good I am required to do. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt. Not thou might. Or thou canest, thou wishest to, thou shalt. Morality is the requirement of God upon every creature that has a conscience that He created, and He will hold us to it. As our founding fathers stated, we are endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights. What they should have added but didn't was, we are also endowed by that same Creator with certain responsibilities. Who are you to tell me how I balance my checkbook? Since God gave you everything you own, God does. It's not your right to choose how you spend your money. God has set that rule. I'm not saying another person does, but I'm saying God does. You don't have a right to choose what you'll do with your money because it's not your money. Good I'm required to do. I love how Christians often talk about giving as though that's something that we have a choice about. We do. After we've given God the rent we owe for living on His world, which is 10%, then we have a choice about what we do give with the rest of it beyond anything we think about. Who are you to tell me what I do with my body and with whom? The one who gave you and me that body. And God says there's rules for what you do with that body and what you don't do with that body. Landmark of morality has changed. It's been moved. Let me add a second one. The landmark, the boundary stone of virtue. The boundary stone of virtue. Now, virtue and morality are not identical. Morality is the good I am required to do. It's the minimum standard. It's the thing of which I can say I owe this, and to do any less is reprobate. Virtue is the good I ought to do. Virtue is the good I ought to do. I don't owe it. Not my responsibility, but I ought to do it. Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friend? Am I required to lay down my life for my friend? Do I owe that? Can a bystander, here comes the gunman and he pulls the trigger and I stand aside and let my friend get shot. Can the bystander, you owed it to him to jump in front of that bullet. You owed it to dive into that foxhole and bury that grenade on your body. Virtue is what I ought to do. We've moved the landmarks of virtue. We've moved the landmarks of virtue. I was watching another documentary of the 60s and 70s. And to just hear the words that they used to describe America, America, a land of freedom. Godly freedom is a virtue. We don't value it anymore. Everybody wants to tell everybody what to do. You offended me when you used that word. What is it today that we've got these things that I have the right for you not to offend me? You know, when you read that Bible, I was offended, so burn it and throw it away. We've moved the boundaries of virtue. What we aspire to, what we desire, what we want for our children. We once wanted our children to be brave and courageous and sacrificial. Now we just want them to be safe. We once counted it a virtue that our children would choose to sacrifice in the name of something good. Now we just want them to be comfortable. We moved the boundary stone of virtue. Number three, the boundary stone of responsibility. Paul, in the first few verses of the book of Galatians, chapter 6, talks about bearing one another's burden. Galatians 6, verses 1 to 5, talks about bearing one another's burden. But then he said, no one should think more highly of himself than he ought to. Each man should measure his own self for what he did himself. For everyone will carry their own load. You see, that's responsibility. I have a load to carry, and you have a load to carry, and I'm not supposed to carry your load, and you're not supposed to carry mine. I am to carry your burden. I've worked my whole life, and suddenly I've got cancer, and the company fired me on the spot, and I have no way to... That's a burden. That's not a load. That's a burden. Thinking lazy and just don't like to work and I can't get my dream job, so I'm going to sit here until my dream job calls me on the phone. And by the way, my first day I want to start at $138,000 an hour. Says if a man doesn't work, about time we started saying that. God did not ordain for people to sit on their backsides and do nothing and then feel sorry for them that they're hungry. Those who are truly impoverished, we should. Those who are lazy, we should not. We've moved the landmark, the boundary stone of responsibility. Number four. We've moved, and this seems like a small one, but it goes to the philosophy that we are conveying to the next generation. We have moved the boundary stone of winning and losing. Today you cannot have a winner and you cannot have a loser. We're all winners. Everyone gets a prize. No one's left out. God doesn't say that. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 24, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but one gets the prize? You see, God meant for children to be trained that there are winners and there are losers, to run in such a way that you win. Let me assure you of one thing. The universe that we live in conspires to teach us that rule. You go for a job today, there'll be 100 people standing in line to get that job, and there'll be one winner and a whole bunch of losers. Why, that just isn't fair. Let me assure you of one more thing. That shows what is going to happen in eternity. There will be winners and there will be losers. And that's the game that matters. I'm sure if we sat here long enough, we could think of many, many more landmarks that have been moved, many more boundary stones that are being shifted. But let us move on to the third question, and that is, why does it matter? Why does God say, cursed is the man? Not just, oh, you shouldn't do it. I love how people change the Bible and think they're doing it in the name of Jesus. Some preacher will get up there and go, God doesn't like it when you lie. That's not what God says, is it? God hates it. So let's be true about this. Why does it matter? Let me give you three reasons. Reason number one, our children have never witnessed where the landmarks ought to be. They don't feel in their gut the way it should be. They don't know. And here's the sad fact, many of us don't know. But they've been moved. When I was a kid, the landmarks had been moved a lot less than they've been moved today. They've still been moved, but they've been moved less. I remember where the landmarks used to be. Our children do not. I remember when you could leave your house unlocked at night. I remember when they didn't talk about armed guards in the schools. I remember when you didn't have to have a metal detector to get into the school. I remember the days when a kid could be a Boy Scout and could throw his backpack in the car with his hatchet attached to the side of it because he was going on a Boy Scout jamboree. And he could drive to school and leave from school to his Boy Scout jamboree, and no one thought twice about it. Not they arrest him and throw him in jail for having a hatchet in a school zone. I remember where the landmarks used to be. And some of you do too, but our children don't. They think this is normal. They think this is the way it's always been. And their teachers conspire to teach them that. And their textbooks conspire to teach them that. And the media conspires to teach them that. Number two, the more boundary stones move, the more it's moved. You move it a little bit at first. If no one calls them on it, then you move it further the next time. The first time it's moved, it may only move an inch. The second time, it's a foot, and pretty soon it's a mile. There's an old saying that says, don't give Satan an inch, or he'll become a ruler. An old saying in the Middle East that says, don't let the camel stick his nose in the tent. Camels don't back up. Once that nose comes in, sooner or later, you're going to get the rump. And because the boundary markers have been moved so far with so little complaint, they're now moved with impunity. We'll set them wherever we want them. I remember when they used to have to move the boundary markers at night in the dark. Now they do it in broad daylight, in front of the cameras, with a smile on their face and a smug, arrogant look. And they challenge you to call them on. Number three. Why does it matter? Because they collude to move the boundary mark. There is a conspiracy. It is not an accidental moving. It's not some singular evil person pushing to move. It's not a lone wolf like Madeline Murray O'Hare doing it out of her basement. It's a conspiracy. No one wants to think about conspiracy. No one wants to think that people are that evil that they would do it deliberately. It's much easier to think, well, they're misinformed, or they're not thinking right, or well, that's their opinion, or and no one wants to call people evil, but they are. It is evil. Psalm chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. Psalm chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. Why do the nations rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The rulers of the earth and the kings set themselves together. The NIV translates it, conspire together. Not some thief trying to steal a little corner of your acreage. It is a conspiracy to move the boundary markers until there's no more land. Hitler was a man of peace, as you may all recall. Peace of this, peace of that, until he had it all. Neville Chamberlain thought he could make peace with Hitler. He cried peace in our time. And the result was World War II and 50 million deaths. Church today has said we can have peace with the world. Let's just put a McDonald's in our foyer and a bowling alley out back and and make sure the gym is brightly lit and that we have lots of sports. We can all be friends with the world. And the result has been the same. We have a generation of children growing up in the house of God that know not Jesus Christ and are going to perish forever, even though they profess to be Christian and claim to have prayed a prayer. What can I do about it? If landmarks are so important, if the landmarks are being moved, and it does matter, give you three things. Let me give you four things. Number one, you need to make sure you know where the boundary markers are. You personally need to check out where the boundary markers used to be and where they are today. I don't know how many parents send their children off to college not knowing where the boundary markers have been moved in college, and they pay money to send their children to a place that's sole and main purpose is to destroy their faith and change their thinking. And they pay for it to be done. You know where the boundary markers should be? Or do you accept that what you had when you were a child is right? Well, this is how I learned it. I don't know how many people I've talked to in my life that say, well, that's how I learned it when I was a child. So what? Yeah, the boundary markers are worse today than they were when I was a kid, but that doesn't mean the ones that were there when I was a kid are right. Do I know the Word of God so well that I know where the boundary markers truly are? Let me assure you, most people in most churches today do not. Most pastors in most churches do not. We live in a day of sloppy agape and easy grace and slippery slopes and no standard is held in the name of Christian freedom and as an attack on legalism. And God forbid if you say there's a standard, because 10 people will jump up and say, now you're just being legalistic. We're saved by grace. Garbage. Grace was given to bring us up to the standard, not to destroy the standard. Jesus didn't say, I've come to destroy the law. He said, I've come to fulfill the law. First John writes and says not, he doesn't say, the Son of Man appeared to make the devil's works okay in the eyes of God. He says, he appeared to destroy the works of the devil. We could go on and on. Number two. Teach the ancient landmarks. There are a lot of people today that say, well, I believe what I believe, but I'm not going to force it on anyone else. Let me ask you a really crazy question, but I think you'll get the point. If you and a buddy were out in a boat rowing across a lake, just for the fun of it, let's say it's filled with hungry alligators. And your friend pulled out a drill and starts drilling into the bottom of the boat. Would you stand there and go, well, that's just his side of the boat? You know, he's free to do what he wants to on his side of the boat. I don't believe in getting in other people's business. If he wants to drill a hole in his side of the boat, what's that to me? Now, I hear the laughter. You understand how stupid that is, don't you? They're drilling in the bottom of the boat. And they're not content that there's five geysers shooting up where the water's already coming in. They're drilling more! And every person who's tolerating it is part of the problem. I don't care if you've got a drill in your hand or you're just sitting there going, wow, that's cool, okay. You're helping the boat to sink. Our boat is sinking, and it's going to sink around the ears of our children. And it's your job and it's my job to try to teach where the landmarks ought to be. Well, they won't listen. Well, the Bible covers that. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. What did God say to Ezekiel? Preach to them whether they listen or whether they forbear. You're right, it's not your job to decide for them, but it is your job and it is my job to tell them what the standards are. And the time that we can stand back and let them drill holes in the bottom of the boat with impunity are over. Now that begins in our homes, but it doesn't end there. I'm a good worker at work, but there are limits to how much friendship I get at work. And there are definitely limits, and I hear about it. Because you see, I stand up for the old standards, and people don't like it. But you know what? Here's the thing. I see people coming around in little ways. Because the old standards are true. They're right. When God says, seek for the ancient paths, He's not trying to send us down a rabbit trail. The next line says, where the good way is. The lying way sounds good. But what's the end of it? If you will, in the people in your life, in your work, in your home, in your neighborhood, if you will consistently preach the truth, you will convert some. Number three, reinforce the ancient landmarks. This is especially true for those of you who have children or grandchildren. It's not enough that you teach your children the right way. You need to reinforce them. Because I know from experience and from the Word of God, more importantly, from the Word of God, that children often do not listen to their parents. Those of you who have your children are still a little young, they're still second, third grade, oh, they're so obedient, they're doing so good, they're listening so nice, and boy, it can seem like such a great, but just wait 5 years. And they're coming home and looking you in, but my teacher said, and maybe they won't be arrogant enough to say it to your face, but they're thinking it in the back of their head, because my teacher last year, my teacher the year before that, my teacher today and my teacher next year are going to tell them all the same lie. Hitler said, if you repeat a big lie often enough, people will believe it. You need to reinforce truth. That's why you need to expose people to good preaching. Your kids, your family, hard preaching. When I was a kid, at least a kid in the faith, those two things were synonymous. A good preacher was a hard preacher. They meant the exact same thing. Somebody said, hey, is so-and-so a good preacher? Oh, yeah, man, he really gives you the truth. That isn't the case anymore. The good preachers, the mealy mouth, tells you what you want to hear. Paul predicted it. It's right there in 2 Timothy 4. The day will come they won't endure sound doctrine, itching ears. That means you have to enlist others. Find people that can teach your children. Find people that can reinforce the godly lessons with your children. Believers. People who teach the truth. People who tell it like it is. Make sure your kids hear them. Make sure that you use it all you can with your friends. I'm right now, and I had one in my hand and it disappeared. Jack had a great new track from Lee Strobel. I've ordered some from the church. They're going to be coming in, hopefully very soon. I want to get them in the hands of every one of my coworkers. I've been arguing with them. I want to put something in their hand that reinforces. What are you doing to reinforce the truth? Number four, especially with your children, with your grandchildren, or with children that you can have an impact on, visit the ancient landmark. Visit the ancient landmark. If you're a parent, you should get your children in the car and drive to Washington, D.C. It doesn't cost that much. Most of it's free. Cost you some gas, and they don't give gas away these days, and there's parking, and you'll have to get a sandwich someplace, and they charge $87,000 for a sandwich down there. But other than that, visit the Jefferson Memorial. Take a tablet with you. And have the child, if they're a little older, sit down and write every one of the quotations on the Jefferson Memorial. They want to demolish the Jefferson Memorial. Did you know that? They want to destroy it. They said it doesn't fit with the architecture of the area. What they mean is it's got too much scripture on it. Every single thing that's written on the Jefferson Memorial comes out of the Word of God. And then you turn to your child and say, when your teacher says that America wasn't founded as a Christian nation, who are you going to believe, your lying teacher or what's written in stone? How often does God say, build up a monument that you would remember? There are monuments that are right down the road from us. Visit the battlefields. I used to take my kids when they were younger to the battlefields. There's some right here in New Jersey. You don't have to go far. It's a free day trip. Yep. The gun emplacements down there in Salem County that guarded the harbor of the Delaware River, Fort Mott. Talk about the sacrifice that previous generations made for you and I. Get a copy of the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, Not the one in the textbooks that has dot, dot, dot throughout it, taking out anything they don't want you to know about. The Mayflower Compact. The original, before they're all gone. I'll never forget, I was sitting in youth group one day and talking about the Christian heritage of America, and one of the students said, "You're lying, Pastor." They were brave enough to say it, thank God. We just read about the Mayflower Compact. There's not a single mention of God anywhere in the Mayflower Compact. I said, "Are you kidding me?" And they said, "No." I said, "Bring in the book." And they did, and they brought in the book. Every reference to God had been taken out. Just dot, 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 dot. And I brought them a real copy of the Mayflower Compact. And I said, "Do you know what those little dots are?" "No, I don't." "Well, they're where they took something out. Let me show you." And I showed them the real one, and their eyes opened, and they said, "Well, why would they lie to us like that?" They didn't know they were being lied to. They wanted to believe their teacher. "Mrs. Jones is a nice person. She wouldn't lie to me." Let me conclude with these words. You're not going to get a lot of help with this. The media isn't going to help you. They're going to do everything in their power to obfuscate. Tongue won't work right. To make the truth unclear. They're going to do, the politicians, they ain't going to help you. They don't want anybody in America to know a single thing about yesterday. They don't want anyone to read the Bill of Rights. Not a single person. You know that the IRS targeted groups, specifically targeted groups that had the word Constitution or Bill of Rights in them, tried to shut them down. They don't want anybody to know about the Bill of Rights. They don't want us to know about the heritage. They don't want us to know how far the landmarks have been moved. The school system isn't going to tell you. And I work for the school system. Is everyone in the school system evil? No. They have to teach the textbooks. The textbooks have to please the politicians. Can't say, I send them to school and I pay taxes. That's all I need to do. No, you need to do it. Well, they go on a school trip to Washington, D.C. Do you think anybody's going to take them in the Jefferson Memorial and show them what's there? Do you think anybody's going to actually stand up there and tell them about Abraham Lincoln and his faith in God and his calls for prayer and national days of prayer and repentance? Do you think anybody in the school trips are going to tell them that? Do you think the guides are going to tell them that? You can take them up to Philadelphia, to the Independence Hall. Do you think the guides at Independence Hall? I actually asked the question one time, and the guy lied through his teeth. I asked, "Excuse me, can you give me the dates at which the Constitutional Convention was suspended in the afternoons so that they could go and hear preaching from the Word of God to restore their courage to form the Constitution?" The guy said, "That never happened." "Yeah, it did." You have to do it. No one else will. The soul of our children is at stake. Fathers, time to man up. If dad won't do it, mothers, it's time to woman up. Couples, it's time to couple up. Let's pray. Lord, our nation is under a curse. see it in our economy. We see it in natural disasters. We see it in the shootings in our schools and the bombings and on and on and on. We are under a curse because you said curse is the man who moves his neighbor's boundary stone. And we have moved the boundary stones far, and that curse still remains. Lord, we may not be able to ship the boundary stones back to where they ought to be, but Lord, we can teach our children. We can advocate with our friends. We can preach till those around us are sick of hearing where the boundary stones ought to be. God, that is your call to us today. That is your call to fathers. That is your call to parents. That is your call to believers. That is your call to us. In Jesus' name.